Well, God bless you in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And welcome to this Scripture Consulting Essentials. And I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are to be a part of your wonderful family and to know your brothers and sisters here and around the world who love you, love your word, love our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for the joy we have of getting together by this media to get together in your word to understand some of it, perhaps a little bit better, or just to remind ourselves some of the great truths that are written there that you had for our learning and for our need and all those things that you put in your word that we can learn from. And we thank you, Father, for the people who are part of this. I ask you to bless their lives and to give them great strength as we continue to grow in these things that you've made available. And I thank you, Father, for this night together in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Most of you have local home fellowships where a few of you can get together and you sing together and pray. And sometimes you eat together. You can minister to one another's needs and you can hear God's word taught. That's not the purpose of this media. The purpose of this is for me to share God's word regarding some things that I think will be a benefit to a lot of you people. So that's where we're heading. Each Monday night we'll get together and I'll have something different to share. It's not a series, it's not a class, it's just an opportunity for me to share something and for you to hear what I have to share. And with that, we'll go to the turning your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 6. But before we get there, I wanted to mention that with the people in the Memphis area, I've been doing a series on essentials for life, and we began with Matthew 4:4, where Jesus was tempted by the devil to change stones into bread, and he answered and said, "It is written," he quoted from the scriptures, "it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." People need food to live, but they also need every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And we know that all scripture is God-inspired or God-breathed. All of it comes from the mouth of God. And so those words are essential for life. And that's why we spend so much time studying God's word. Jesus also said, as recorded in Matthew 6, verses 31 to 33, "Therefore take no thought." And those words would be better translated, don't get anxious or don't be overly concerned, saying, "What shall we eat?" or "What shall we drink?" or "Wherewithal shall we be clothed?" Where is our food coming from? Or where are we going to get something to drink? Or I'm out of clothes, I need something to wear. Well, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the food, the drink, the clothing, all these things shall be added unto you. The first priority was to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those other things God's going to take care of. Man needs bread to live, but he also needs every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And where do you learn about the kingdom of God and his righteousness? From God's word, from the words that come from the mouth of God. Now, Jesus also, when he was speaking with Nicodemus, answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again," which would be better translated, born from above, "he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, to see the kingdom of God, well, if you're going to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then an important part of that would be being born from above, because without that, you can't see the kingdom of God. So being born from above was another very important essential for life if you're seeking the kingdom of God. And Jesus went on to explain this to Nicodemus, that born from above referred to birth by spirit. And he was talking about the spiritual birth that became available on the day of Pentecost after Jesus had suffered and died and been raised from the dead and then ascended into heaven. And that being born of spirit was the beginning on the day of Pentecost of new life for many, many people, where they became children of God and God was their father. That's what Jesus was talking about here to Nicodemus. So two very important essentials that we've considered are, first of all, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, and secondly, the essential of being born from above. You must be born from above. Otherwise, you can't see the kingdom of God. Now, today I'd like to get into a topic which I've entitled Wisdom, Strength, and Courage. And we're going to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. It says in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Now, I want you to notice those words. If you have the Authorized or King James Version, it has the word Lord, and some other translations do, not all of them, but it has the word Lord where all the words are capital letters. Now, the ORD, those are small capital letters. And the word God, though, is in regular lowercase letters outside of the first letters, capital G, then lowercase OD. And then you have Lord again where the last three letters are small capital letters. Now, if you look back at chapter 3, verse 24, there you have the word, O Lord God. The word Lord is in lowercase letters, except for the first letter. You have ORD. You see, those are small letters. But then God is capital G, capital O, capital D. Now, go back to 6:4. The reason for that, whenever you see that in the Authorized King James Version, is because they made it small capital letters whenever it was a translation of the Hebrew word that's pronounced Yahweh or Jehovah. But of course, the word God is in lowercase letters, the O and the D, and that is translated from the word Elohim, that means God. But in 3:24, the word Lord was in lowercase letters, and that's because it was translated from the word Adonai, which means Lord. But God was in those uppercase letters, and that's because it was translated from Yahweh or Jehovah. Now look at 6:4 from the Darby translation. It says, "Hear, Israel, Jehovah our God is one Jehovah." And in the Young's literal translation, "Hear, O Israel, Jehovah our God is one Jehovah." And in the New Jerusalem Bible, "Listen, Israel, Yahweh our God is the one, the only Yahweh." That's the name by which God was known to the children of Israel. Beginning at the time when God talked to Moses, he became known to them as Yahweh or Jehovah. That was his name to the people of Israel. Now look at verse 5. "And thou shalt love the Lord," see that's translated from Yahweh or Jehovah, "the Lord thy God," Jehovah thy God, "with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." They were to love God with all their heart, their soul, and their might. "And these words which I command thee this day," Moses was giving them the words, commanding them the words that God had given to him for them. So these are God's words, and man needs God's words to live. "Which I command thee this day, these words shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." You're to teach them to your children. "And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house." When you're just sitting around the house, talk of God's words to the children and to others. "And when thou walkest by the way," if you get up and move out of the house, you're walking along the way, talk about God's word there too. and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. If you're lying down, if you're rising up, talk about God's word. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. So you just never take your eyes off of God's words. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. They were to write God's words everywhere, especially in their hearts. He was the one God they were to serve. Now look at verse 13. Thou shalt fear or respect the Lord thy God. There's Lord again, Jehovah thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. Don't go after those gods, but you respect the one true God, Jehovah your God. And they were to write God's word everywhere so that they could not lose track of it. They were to keep it in the foremost of their mind, in their hearts. Now look at chapter 8, verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord Jehovah thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee, or allowed thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And that's what Jesus quoted to the devil when he was tempted. Man does not live by bread only, by food only, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee during those 40 years, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Now we think we've got to have new clothes almost every month, but their clothes lasted for 40 years and their feet didn't even swell during that time. That's a pretty good record. Without God's word, the children of Israel would not have been able to survive in the wilderness. God provided manna for them to eat when there was no food around. And without God's word, they wouldn't have had that. That's why man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We need God's word in order to live. In Deuteronomy 17, go over a few pages. If you'll notice in verse 14, it says, when thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are round about me. I want you to see that this context is dealing with when they would set a king over them. Now, verse 18 says, and it shall be when he, the king, sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. He was supposed to write a copy of the law. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, every day, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. That was a primary thing for the king. Kings were to write a copy of the law, and they were to read it daily. Not that all of them did that, but that's what they were supposed to do. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy 27, verse 1. And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. And it shall be on the day when ye pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This is at the end of those 40 years when the children of Israel were to pass over the Jordan into that promised land, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster, and thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law. How often God instructed them to write his words. They were to make copies of God's word that was written to them at that time. Here it says again, write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Therefore it shall be, when ye be gone over Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones which I command you this day in Mount Ebal. That's where they were to set up those stones, in Mount Ebal. And thou shalt plaster them with plaster, and there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God, and thou shalt offer peace offerings, and thou shalt eat there and rejoice before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. He told him, you write all the words of this law and write it very plainly on those stones that you set up there in Mount Ebal. Now look at Joshua chapter 8, verse 30. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man hath lifted up any iron, and they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. Where did he set it up? In Mount Ebal, as Moses had instructed them. And Joshua was the one leading them, and he took charge of doing that. In verse 32, he wrote thereon upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And then verse 33 tells how the children of Israel were there as he wrote those words. Then verse 34 says, and afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. So Joshua built the altar at Ebal, as Moses had commanded, and wrote a copy of the law of Moses on the altar in the presence of the children of Israel. Then afterward, he read all the words of the law to them. Now let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 31. How important God's word that was written to and for them at that time was. And God stressed how they were to write a copy of it different times. He told them to do that, how they were to stay in it day after day. They were to keep their eyes on it. They were to dwell on it. They were to keep it in their heart. They were to teach it to their children. They were to talk about it when they were lying down, when they were rising up, when they were sitting down, when they were taking a walk, by the way, wherever they were to talk about God's word, and they were to keep that word in front of their eyes and in their hands, on their doorposts. You know, hang up a few scriptures on your wall, that kind of thing. Because it's from God's word that they had the wisdom to do what they were supposed to do at that time. Now, Deuteronomy 31. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord Jehovah thy God, he will go over behind you. No, it says what? Before you. He will go before you. He'll lead the way. And he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over not behind you, but before thee, as the Lord has said. Joshua was going to lead them. He would go before them, but God was going to go before all of them. He was going to lead the way. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, and ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Then he's speaking to the people. Moses is speaking to the people here. He says, be strong and of a good courage. Not only were they to know God's word and have the wisdom of God's word that was written to them at that time, they were to be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And he's going to go with them and he's going to lead the way. And Moses called unto Joshua. Now Moses is talking to Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage. Not only were the people to be strong and of a good courage, but Joshua was too, to be strong and of good courage. They were to all know God's word. That was the wisdom they were to know and understand. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto thy fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. There it says it again. He's going before thee, and he will be with thee as well. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. So fear not, neither be dismayed at anything you see. Don't look at the things that might be there in the flesh and the senses. Don't be afraid of those things. Don't be dismayed at those things. Keep looking to God. He's going to go before you. He's going to lead the way. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Again, he told them, every 7 years, when all of Israel is gathered together, you read this law to them. Gather the people together, men and women and children, the stranger that is within the gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law. That's where their wisdom came from. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land, whither ye go over Jordan to possess it, because there were children to be born. And so at least every 7 years, if somebody wasn't teaching it at home like they were supposed to, they would have an opportunity to hear God's word taught to them. So, you have three things in this record. First of all, the wisdom of God's word. They were to do according to God's word. And secondly, the people were to be strong and of a good courage. But also Joshua, who was leading them, was to be strong and of a good courage. And above all, they were to remember that God was going before them, leading the way, that he would not forsake them, but he would lead the way, and they were to be strong and of a good courage. Now let's look at Joshua chapter 1. This is after Moses had died. Joshua chapter 1. Verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord, Jehovah, spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. Now he's speaking directly to Joshua. He had spoken to Moses before. Now he's speaking to Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given it unto you. I've already given it to you. Wherever your soul is going to tread, wherever you put your feet down in this land, I've already given it to you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee, Joshua. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Moses had said this before. Now God is telling Joshua himself, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Then he says, be strong and of a good courage. He had God's word. God had given it to him, and Joshua was faithful to follow it. We already read a record a little later on in Joshua where he sat down on those rocks and wrote that the law there, and then he read it to all the people. And God, so he had God's word foremost in his mind, but God also said, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. He tells them that again. Be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. That was the wisdom from the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law, which was God's word to Israel at that time, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein some days each year. No, you meditate therein day and night, daily, day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. That's the wisdom, to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success, not just success, but good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? That's the third time he said it to him now. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That must have been very encouraging to Joshua. Be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law, which was God's word to Israel. There's a record in John 7:37-39 about, it says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him, on Jesus Christ, should receive. For the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And we know from other scriptures that gift of Holy Spirit was not given until after Jesus had ascended into heaven. And then on the day of Pentecost, people for the first time were born of Spirit, filled with Holy Spirit, and they manifested it by speaking in tongues. Now, we're not dealing with the people of Israel in the time of Moses or in the Old Testament. This is regarding the church that started on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, after Jesus had been glorified, people were born of Spirit for the first time. They were filled with Holy Spirit, and they manifested it by speaking in tongues. That's when the new birth that Jesus had talked about to Nicodemus became available. That's when people were born of Spirit, when they became children of God. And after that, God had a new name. He wasn't called in the New Testament or even in the Gospels. You don't hear him called Yahweh or Jehovah, but rather Jesus taught them to call him Father. And from the day of Pentecost on, people who were born again of God's Spirit were children of God, and God was their Father, and they were to call him by that new name, Father. Now, in Romans 7, verse 4, it says, "Wherefore, my brethren," this is to the church of God after the day of Pentecost, "wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ." It says we've become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Then if you go down here to verse 6, "But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter," the law. We are born of spirit. We have that new spirit inside, and we have a new way to serve by that spirit. And we've been delivered from the law. We've become dead to the law. We're no longer under that law that was given to the children of Israel at the time of Moses. And Romans 10:4 says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. The book of Ephesians, one of the epistles that's written to us who are in the church. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 12, "That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth," you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, that gospel of God concerning his son Jesus Christ, you heard that gospel, "in whom ye also, after that ye believed," you believed in Jesus Christ, "then you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." That's when they were born again, sealed with that Holy Spirit that God had promised, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. "Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus," they had believed in the Lord Jesus, "and your love to all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." He prayed for them. Isn't that wonderful? He prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that's his name to us in the church, the Father of glory, may give unto you. This was his prayer, that God the Father may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. God wants us to know what he's made available to us. He wants us to have that wisdom, to know what has been made available, and that he would give you that spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and that you may know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to somebody down the street that I don't know. No, to usward who do what? The exceeding greatness of God's power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his, Jesus Christ's feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all things in all people who are part of that church. The spirit of wisdom and of the revelation of the knowledge of him, that we can have that wisdom, that we can know what God has done for us through his son, Jesus Christ, that our minds can be enlightened, that we might know these things, including what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, till you got born again. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. He has made us alive together with Christ. We were dead in our sins, but he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved, not by works, but by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Doesn't say he invited you to sit down, says he made you sit down together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Here's your seat. Have a seat. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, by believing in Jesus Christ. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Our salvation is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you had worked for it, then you could boast about it, but you didn't work for it. It's by God's grace. Jesus Christ did the work so that you could believe on him and then receive what God has freely made available. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So many people are concerned about what they can do to make themselves better, to receive things from God. No, God and his son Jesus Christ did the work so that you could have that life today. Not of our works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are God's workmanship. We are made alive with Christ. We are raised with Christ. We are seated in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. None of our works did it. It was God's work and the work of his son, Jesus Christ. Now look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in yourselves, in your intellect. No, it doesn't say that. Be strong in what? The Lord, and in the power of his might. We're not to be strong in ourselves or our own intellect or our own physical ability or anything else, or government or anything else. We're to be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might, in the working translation, we translated it, henceforth, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his ability. Remember, the children of Israel were told to be strong and of a good courage. And then Joshua was told by Moses first to be strong and of a good courage. And then God spoke directly to Joshua. Three times he said, be strong and of a good courage. Or one time he said, and very courageous. Our strength is not of ourselves. We're to be strong in the Lord and then the strength of his ability. That's what makes us strong in situations, not our own abilities, but we're to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his ability. Now, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the methods of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. Sometimes it looks like you're fighting against flesh and blood, but you never are. It's a battle against spiritual wickednesses and those kind of things in high places in the you know, spiritual realm. It's always something behind what's going on in the senses. You see problems today. Where do those problems come from? It's a spiritual battle. And we're to be strong in whom? In the Lord, and not in our own ability, but in the strength of his ability to get things done. Verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to just stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's God's word. That's where we get our wisdom from. God's word. Man needs every word of God in order to live. You need some bread, but you need every word that proceeds from the mouth of God as well. Your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, what God has made you to be in Christ Jesus, that righteousness of God. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Remember what God told Joshua, that every place the soles of your feet will tread, I've already given that to you. Well, every place your feet tread, that's where you take the gospel of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ, which is the gospel of peace. Wherever you go, you take that gospel with you. You spread that gospel around the land. Above all, taking the shield of faith or believing, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You just stay, keep trusting God, keep staying on him, and that's what's going to quench the fiery darts that might come at you from the wicked one. Not your own ability. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his ability. Just keep trusting God, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that's, again, where our wisdom comes from, and especially the word of God that's written to the church of God today, to know what we have in Christ, all of our rights as sons of God, our abilities, our honors, our all the things that God has made us to be, the authority that we have in the name of Jesus Christ. The word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, what's prayer in the Spirit according to 1 Corinthians 14? It's speaking in tongues. That's prayer in the Spirit, which is a perfect prayer. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, confidently, with freedom of speech, to make known the mystery of the gospel. To make that gospel known, and specifically here, the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly, with freedom of speech, confidently, with courage, as I ought to speak. We need to know the wisdom of God as God has given it to the church. We need to master what is written in the epistles addressed to the church and what happened in the book of Acts. We need to know those things. We need to be a students in the wisdom of God. Then we need to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his ability. And then we need to be courageous and speak the word of God boldly, confidently, and freely. Not intimidated by the world and the things that are going on in the world, but just keep your feet steadfast on what God has given to us, has revealed to us in his word. We need every word of God to live by, and we need to be strong in the Lord, and we need to be courageous and speak the word of God boldly, confidently, and freely with freedom of speech. We've a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story of peace and light. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And God's great kingdom shall come to earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a message to give to the nations that our God, who reigns above, has sent us his Son to save us and to show us that God is love, and show us that God is love. We have a message to tell to the nations that God is love, that he sent his Son to save us. And you know, we need to share that message with others. And the darkness will turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And someday God's great kingdom's going to come to earth, that kingdom of love and light. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your wonderful word and the promises in your word that are written to the church, and from the wisdom that we can acquire from what you have written to us. Thank you, Father, that you've given us things that we can learn from your word and put on day by day, and that we can be strong in you and our Lord Jesus Christ, and in the strength of your ability to do things, and not rely on our own wisdom and our own strength, but to rely on you and know that you're always there. And then to be courageous, to hold forth your word, to share it with others through all the nations around the world. And I thank you, Father, for your having loved us, for having given your Son for us, and that you raised him up, and that he's there making intercession for us this day. And that we can, as part of that body of Christ, walk forth as your wonderful sons and daughters of God. We thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'll see you next Monday at the same time. God bless you. I love you.